Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our text this morning are part of the gospel reading. It says, "Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." So far, our text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow Redeemed in Christ, you probably know about Charles Schwab and Vanguard. Maybe you know something about Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. There's a million companies out there that are financial companies who want to help you invest your money and to make money for you, and of course, a little profit for themselves along the way. Their concern is your net worth. If you invest, they want you to do well so that they in turn do well. If you should lose a bunch of money in the stock market or in a retirement fund, well, that matters to you. If you should gain because of your investments, well, then hopefully that will translate for you into fewer financial worries in the future. Most people spend a fair bit of their lives thinking about net worth. And who wouldn't? It's as close as possible to a reliable way to predict the future for ourselves as anything. If I have a lot, then my future is going to be easier, and if I don't have much, then my future is going to be more difficult. And yet, how reliable is this? We like to think that we choose our path, but isn't it God who actually orders our footsteps? Isn't it God who actually is in control of our future? Think about it this way. If your life were to be demanded from you this night, what will your net worth matter? So this morning, instead of asking what is your net worth, I'd like to ask this question, and it's related to our gospel reading this morning. What is your net worth? I'm sort of changing up the meaning of net there from total or overall to talk about the actual nets that Simon and Andrew and James and John might have used in their work. It's going to be a metaphor for us, for the kind of net that Jesus uses when he speaks to them. So what are we to do with our nets? For most of us, this question doesn't make a whole lot of sense because we're not fishermen, but for Jesus' first disciples, this was a question about their livelihood, a question about their vocation. That's the old word that's becoming more popular now to talk about one's livelihood. These were fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, and that's what they did for a living. They fished. They used their nets to catch fish. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they must have been sort of a smelly lot. They were working every day on boats and hauling in nets and fish, hopefully. And then one day, one very special day, Jesus appears on the scene, and he enters into their lives, and their lives would never be the same again. He told Simon and Andrew and James and John to to leave their nets and to come and follow him. What did he mean? And was it really this abrupt? Well, I think from an earthly point of view, this event probably was pretty sudden, caught them off guard. Maybe they knew him a little bit. Maybe they knew a little bit about his teachings. Maybe they even thought that he was somebody special, an important rabbi or something like that. Maybe they had heard his interesting teachings because he taught with authority. Jesus' invitation, why that invitation must have broke upon them like the rays of the sun. This was an otherworldly invitation. And I don't think they could have known just how important it would be for their lives. There was much to what Jesus said to them that morning. There's sort of the obvious understanding. Drop your nets and come follow me. And that's exactly, of course, what they did that day. They left their nets behind and they followed Jesus. But there's a more drawn-out meaning to it, too, because Jesus had some intentions for them. And dropping the nets would have ramifications for them that they couldn't have known. Jesus wanted these fishermen to follow him and to learn from him. How could they have known how important it would be? Then we also see that these fishermen followed Jesus spiritually. These gospel accounts that we read are the result of that. They saw these events. By faith, they saw this Jesus living out his life and becoming the sacrifice for us. They came to know by experience that he wasn't like us. He was sinless. He was perfect. Occasionally, they were given the privilege of glimpsing in some way or another that Jesus truly is God. They came to recognize that he was the fulfillment of the prophecies of the ages. That God himself had come into the world to save us, to rescue us. They were there when Jesus was crucified, though only John stayed close by the cross. They saw him give his life as a ransom, a payment for us all, to buy us back from our sins. They witnessed his resurrection too. And they were even asked by him after his resurrection to bring some fish for him to eat right there near this same spot where all this is happening. They glimpsed their place in God's great salvation story. They took up their crosses also as believers and followed Jesus, even to death, most of them by martyrdom. They were given faith and strengthened in that faith so that not only did they put their net worth into the proper perspective, most importantly, they came to know the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They came to know his word and his promises, which are eternal, which bring us out of this temporary, decaying world of ours and into an eternity of God's love. Then there's also that eternal dimension to this encounter, because it truly never ended. These same disciples are still following Jesus. These same disciples are with him right now in the heavenly places. They're co-heirs with him, brothers. And the words that they were privileged to write down for us in the Bible, they'll never fade. They're the very words of God. And this same Jesus who broke into their lives there at the Sea of Galilee, he has come here today to speak to you with his word and to invites you to follow him. And he's not calling us to be apostles like these fellows. We can't physically follow Jesus in quite the same sense that they did, but certainly he calls us today to put aside for a moment the things of this world and to listen to him. And certainly he calls us to follow his words in faith. And he calls us to take up our crosses and follow him through life and death and into eternity. Now, even though these early disciples left their nets and followed Jesus, remember, they caught fish for Jesus after his resurrection. They never left their nets behind totally. They kept their nets according to God's providence. They remained fishermen. They continued to pursue their livelihood, but the purpose of it was changed forever. No longer were they thinking about it from a sort of self-centered desire to square away the future and have some control over things. They were looking at this livelihood of theirs as an act of service to God and fellow man in God's great plan of salvation. When we follow Jesus, we are also to keep our nets. God gave us our livelihoods. He gave us our jobs and our families and our responsibilities, and we likewise are called to consider what we do as part of God's great plan of salvation. Let the fanatics, you know, throw those things away to follow Jesus. But this isn't what Jesus had in mind. The only people served by the fanatics are those who are trying to draw attention to themselves and prove to themselves, to God, just how good they are, how deserving they are, at least in their own minds. But doing these things that God has not commanded us to do and ignoring the things that he has commanded us to do, why, that's just not godly. It's not what God would have us do. We are to keep those nets and to use them in his service. And thinking that we somehow could influence God to love us? Why, that is an insult to Christ and what he did. And it totally ignores God's gracious heart. And it focuses really on our self-centeredness. Now, instead, Jesus told his early disciples to keep those nets and to use them. And he used their nets. He used their hard-working hands on numerous occasions to point to his work and to illustrate his word. This is the obvious sense of it. In a spiritual sense, he also called them to be apostles, to be fishers of men, he says. They were to use their faith and to use their knowledge of God's word also in this world to catch people up in the salvation of our God. The Lord has likewise called upon you to use your nets. Work with your nets, whatever they might be. If you're a fisherman like these fellows, then be a good, hardworking fisherman. If you're a realtor, be a good, hardworking realtor, looking out for your clients and helping them receive what they need and receiving your commission with thankfulness and not greediness. And farmers, grow your crops. And firemen, put out fires. And elder care workers and nurses, care for the elderly and the ill and so on. And retirees, well, think about how you can use your time wisely to help where you can. And all of you, do this with Christ in mind. He has given you your net, and he would have you work with it, but not as the heathen do. Your net work is more than just the obvious worldly work. Each day, your net puts you in contact with lots of people, people for whom Christ died. You have the net of the gospel, just as these apostles did. You've been given the commission by Christ himself to go and preach the good news to all creation. You have the opportunity every day to catch up your friends and your relatives and your co-workers and your acquaintances and your neighbors in this net of the gospel, so that they might have eternal life like you do, so that they might know the love of God the Father. So cast that net out into the world. Tell people that Jesus died for them. Tell them that despite our shortcomings, despite our sins, God loves us. He loves us and gave his own son to buy us back from those sins. That's how much he loves us. He wants to win us for himself so that he might have us for eternity. Pull them in. Bring them into your friendship. Bring them into your church. Share with them the bounty of God's goodness. So again, what's your net work? It is to hear the word of God, isn't it? And to faithfully meditate upon it. And to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. And to share that word with others where we are, as we pursue our livelihoods in this world and live out the short time that God has given us here before he brings us home to heaven. And when you think about your net worth, put it into perspective. All that you have here is only temporary, but the net work that God has given us to do is eternal. May God grant us to see his life through the apostles' eyes and to see his sacrifice and to know his triumph and to use the nets that he himself has given to us to cast salvation to the world where we are. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.